review report, as well as comments submitted by individual council members. You'll remember during the first day of the meeting when I gave the executive committee report, I mentioned that the executive committee had reviewed the comments from individual council members as well as the report and has drafted up a straw man set of recommendations for your consideration today at the council. In addition, Paul Howard and I were on a conference call with our partners from the Science Center and the regional office, as well as members from NOAA and Silver Spring as well, talking about where each independent or individual organization was with respect to the report and what steps we were preparing to take independently, but also, and probably more importantly, what opportunities we had for collaboration. In other words, of the recommendations, which ones made the most sense to partner up on. And you'll hear some more about that today as well. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul Howard. He's going to guide you through the action plan that the executive committee is forwarding to the council for its consideration, and then we can have a discussion about the report and our recommendations. Pat Kirkle and Frank have also asked for an opportunity to discuss what their respective agencies are going to do with respect to this report as well. So we'll hear from them. Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to mention that the Executive Committee looks forward to working with the Science Center, the public, fishermen, and the regional office to address this management review. We look upon it, the Executive Committee looks upon this review very positively, and our process is not perfect. It's really time to look at how we do our business and improve it. It's a perfect timing. So at the end of our discussion today, we intend to send out a press release how we view this report very positively and look forward to working with our partners in the industry, public, and the service. At Executive Committee, what we did was we looked at primarily pages 14 and 15, and working with pre-conference calls with the service, Pat and Frank, we decided that that's where we should put our focus on the recommendations in the report and discuss leads in developing a work plan to address the report. We want to discuss who would take the lead in addressing the individual items. And that's what I want to discuss with you this morning. So if you look at the first one on page 14, you'll see we're going to work collectively. Frank, the Science Center, is going to take the lead. And on the first one, eliminate redundant reviews and activities between the SAW, SARC, and the SSC and clarify roles and responsibilities. We're going to have a work group. Science Center is going to lead it, and we'll have our SSC members and some council members on that. The second one on page 15, the top of 15, develop and implement a collaborative process for council, PDT, NIMS, Science, Sustainable Fisheries, General Council to create, review, and approve rules. That's basically taking a look at how our process from start to finish. Again, Pat's office is going to take the lead in that, and the council and staff will be part of that workload along with the Science Center. So that's a joint work group. Under maximize collaboration, you'll see circles in NEFMC. The first one, examine measures other councils have taken to improve communications and collaborations with stakeholders. Staff is going to contact all the other councils. Look at the different outreach activities and communications and engagement they have with stakeholders at the different councils, catalog it, and bring those efforts from the other councils to Executive Committee in August. We'll discuss all the different things that the other councils do and bring it back to our council in September to look at such things as listening sessions, you know, electronic communications, whatever other councils are doing, we'll bring to you in September for approval for our council to move forward with. The next one is redesign the council meetings to be more collaborative, more welcoming to stakeholders, change the layout of the room, engage facilitators, minimize individuals dominating the conversation, and provide coffee, tea, and cookies. We again will bring back some feedback to the executive committee in August. Staff will work on that, and we'll bring some recommendations to the council in September for approval and or further discussion on that one. But we're taking the lead on those two. Simplifying communications, the council and NIMS should work with key industry representatives to understand how, when, and what information they want to receive and how they want to receive it. Pat's office will take the lead on that, and our public affairs officer and staff will work with her staff and Frank's staff to outreach to the community to see how they want to receive information. I think that's very important. Next one will be jointly reduce the number of steps external stakeholders need to go through to find information to speak to someone. I don't think in this age it's so frustrating to get on the phone to try to spend a half hour to get to the right person and then find out that's the wrong person. So we got to do better at engaging our external stakeholders so they can get the right answers and without wasting an hour of time. So we'll work with Pat's office on that as well. Longer-term management actions to look at, the 120-day actions. Scale up the collection and use of socioeconomic data. We've talked about that yesterday and ongoing about how we need to collect better socioeconomic data and how the council has to use it and make sure it's part of its decision-making. So that's very important. The executive committee is going to work closely with the Science Center and Pat and also our own staff and the council to make sure that we get the right data delivered on time and that we use it in making decisions and choosing alternatives. The next one, we'll work jointly with the service, conduct a comprehensive analysis of NIMS data systems to identify areas that will improve data gathering, data management, data analysis, and data use. We'd like to be part of that as well. Another joint action work group to discuss, conduct a comprehensive analysis of FMP reporting requirements to find opportunities to eliminate unnecessary reporting analysis writing and decrease the reporting workload on council and NARO staff. I asked for a clarification of that reporting requirements, and what it basically Preston Pate said was that's FMP development requirements. We have so many requirements to develop an FMP and not so much reporting requirements, but development requirements. So we're going to look into streamlining that approach jointly as well. The next item is a council lead that we'll be working on that solely, and that's to begin the creation of a regional vision and strategic plan to define a new model for collaborating with all stakeholders and set a future direction for the fishery. The executive committee talked about having a longer project, asking for additional funds with significant meetings up and down the coast with fishermen to do a regional vision for fisheries management. And we also discussed the fact that NAMA had done that same thing not too long ago, and the results of that visioning statement were that the industry wants, stability, they want geographic distribution, they want fair and balanced treatment, they want diversity of a fleet, and a lot of those things, if not all of them, are in our goals and objectives and many of our plans. So the executive committee talked about things on the horizon like ecosystem management, and that maybe the vision that might come forward might be one of shifting from managing fish throughout the range to managing spatially and having three ecosystems. And it seems to tie in very nicely with all the marine spatial activities going on and the different, we also talked about the different science requirements associated with managing spatially versus managing species throughout the range. So I wouldn't be surprised. The plan is for the leadership of the council, the executive committee, to have the leadership create their vision of where they want to see fisheries management go. We're going to look at some of the NAMA activities and all that and bring that into it. But the goal is to look at ecosystem management and future management type regimes and what they mean to the region and bring that back to the council in September as a straw man to see, you know, to get approval on a vision for where we're going with fisheries management in the region. So I think that should be, you know, very exciting to do to, for once and for all, tackle a vision, which may include changing the way we do business. So again, those that we've taken the lead on, we're going to work over the summer on as a staff, report to the executive committee in August, and have on the agenda enough time to discuss those council lead items in September. Hopefully make decisions on many of them. The next item, consider resources to scale up the observer program and aging analysis. We're going to joint workly with the Science Center and Pat on that. And the last one we're going to take the lead on, and that's to design a cost-effective performance management system to track the progress of decisions. I mentioned to the executive committee that to bring something back in September on that is way too early, so we're going to shoot for January to look at how we can change our management process. It ties in with a bunch of the other items as well, but you know, when we're changing management, we definitely should have a monitoring-type program, just like we're doing now with sectors. We're evaluating how sectors work and did we meet our goals and objectives. When we develop a process for fisheries management, we start an action. Part of our plan should be a measurement plan as well as part of our plan. When are we going to measure how we're doing and put it right in our plan, and what are we going to measure? Do we have measurable goals and performance measures to see that we're on track? So we're going to work on that as a staff and present something to the council in January on that. So that's briefly our work plan, and I know that we've communicated this, John and I, to the service, including Eric Shaw and Eric Schwab, sorry. And so they're on board tentatively with our plan. And I don't know if you want to take questions, Mr. Chairman, or just go right to the service.
I think it would be good to hear from the service and the Science Center so that you can have an understanding of what each agency is doing. So, Pat, if you're ready.
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. So, as Paul pointed out, for the most part, we're working from the recommendations in the management plan. And those recommendations fell into several, or four, I should say, themed categories. And we do have a... Okay. And so just sort of looking at it a little more generally than the specific recommendations, I think there were 19 or something recommendations altogether. They fall into simplify governance, simplify communications, improve science collaboration, and just sort of generally improve collaboration. And so as Paul said, we've binned them a little bit to try to make sure we think it's important that although we're all going to work jointly on almost all of them, it's still important that somebody have the lead and take responsibility for moving things forward. And so this is how it generally falls. The NERO, the regional office, has the lead on simplified governance, simplified communications, the Science Center, of course, on improved science collaboration, and then the council on improved general collaboration. So if we go to the next slide. Looking at the two areas that the regional office is going to have responsibility for simplify governance, simplify communications. We really think the key under simplifying governance, or what came out of the report, is that we look at clarifying the roles and responsibilities between all the parties involved. And in fact, you could actually insert the industry in here and other stakeholders as well. So as Paul said, we need to look at the process soup to nuts. And what we think needs to come out of this is some sort of memorandum of agreement or something that clearly outlines how the process works, what the different steps are, who's responsible for the different steps, and how we all interact. And so I think that's the big product that we're looking for out of simplified governance. But there's a lot of other things, a lot of good ideas that have come out of the discussion since the management review came out. And so we're also going to fold those into the process. And an example is we want to look at maybe a pilot project for one of the upcoming regulations to see if we can't write that regulation. That's the right side. Yeah. Write that regulation in more of a plain language way, and see how that works. See if that makes the understandability of it better. We've also taken more of a plain language approach to the communications coming out of the regional office, and so hopefully you'll see some change there. And that has to do more with the simplified communication part of it. Where we think that the key there is developing a communication plan, and again, a communication plan that involves all of us and how we interact. We have established a communication team in the regional office that's now headed by Allison McHale, who I think is here today. And so that will be the umbrella for coordinating communication in the within the regional office and collaborating with the council. We have all of our staff now interact on a pretty regular basis, daily basis, with the with constituents, and so we've asked them to talk to constituents about communication and recommendations they might have for what type of communication is most effective, what things we could improve on. And we're also looking at making the website a little bit easier to read. We've had some customer service training. So I don't want to get into a lot of the details here. Really what our plan is as Paul has said, is to put this together into a clear action plan and bring it back to the council at their September meeting. We're certainly looking for and open to suggestions and recommendations before then as well as at that point. And then the next slide talks about the science collaboration, and Frank's going to cover that a little bit.
If you just want to bring them all up. So I'm not going to repeat anything that Pat and Paul say intentionally, I may. But I think that there were several key issues, key themes that came out of the report that we're going to respond to. First one is improve and streamline data management collection. As most of you are aware, and certainly in the Science Center in the region, the data management system that we have in the region and the center is very complex, and it has arisen over the years as primarily in the regional office as management needs have required it to increase in complexity. But it's gotten to the point now where the system is so complex, and there are so many components to the system that it does need a review. This is nothing that's a surprise. I suspect that many of the comments that came into the PATE report came from our staff. The six-month interim report turned into a nine-month interim report, partially because of the data systems were complex, and our staffs were using the same data slightly differently. So our plan is to have a two-phase approach. We're going to have, starting within the next 60 days, a review of the entire system and develop a vision of what an overall system would be, whether or not the system is central at the regional office or in the science center or in the cloud. I don't think that's really important. The important thing is to know that the system is integrated and that when people need data, they know where to get it. So we will be working with the regional office, obviously, and also with council staff because council staff use the data quite a bit. That project will begin very soon, and we will have a more clear work plan by September. Simplify the stock assessment process. This is something that we've actually been working on with the council and the regional office for at least the last 2 years. I know that there have been some presentations and folks know what the process is. We are looking at revising the SOSARC process and benchmarks and updates and projections. So that project is pretty far along. We're again working with the council and the regional office on that, and we will report out on that more definitively in September. Strengthen the cooperative research program. The cooperative research program actually received praise in the report, and most people consider the cooperative research program to be a positive. However, there are some things that we need to do. We did conduct a strategic planning process in 2009 with a report that was complete in 2010. We're now about halfway through the 4 or 5 year cycle, depending on how you look at it, of that strategic plan. And we are in the process of conducting a series of meetings. There was one at the Mid-Atlantic Council last week. There was another meeting here with stakeholders that was actually quite well attended on Tuesday. Today's Thursday. Well, Tuesday. And so our plan will be to collect the information from stakeholder meetings. We plan on holding maybe 4 or 5 or 6 more of those up and down the coast throughout the summer. Report back to the committee. We have this committee of deputies that has already been discussed. Yeah, okay. Too much detail. Well, I know a lot about the cooperative. We'll report back and update that strategic plan and report back to you in September. How's that? Increase the amount of economic and social information prepared in fishery regulations. Paul has already touched on that, so I won't anymore for the sake of brevity. And also improve the collection, processing, availability of observer data, and also the age data. That was one of the items that was in the 120-day. This is a process that is very complex, but we do need to do. We often talk about age data being a bottleneck when we're doing assessments. So whether or not we do a strategic a better job at strategic planning for age data, increase our staff aging, or also use different methods for actually determining which samples we collect. You can only collect the samples once when you get them, and if you don't collect the samples, you don't have them. But we can be more strategic in the samples that we actually process. So these are the things that we're looking at. This is a really difficult topic of how much is enough when it comes to aging samples and length frequency. So this is something that it was on my agenda when I headed the aging group. I failed, and people before me have failed, and people after me have failed. So we're going to try it again. We have some better ideas, and we have some modeling ideas that we're going to use. And also the observer program, we know that this is a big issue, not only with the way we conduct our observer program, what it costs, what the potential cost will be to the industry as we move, certainly with in groundfish, as we move to an industry-funded program. So we will be working with the regional office and certainly the council. And Paul has already indicated that this is one of the themes that they're particularly interested in working with. And as they both said, although I said I wouldn't repeat this, in September we'll be reporting out with a more detailed work plan.
So I did promise John and recall that Frank and I would try to keep it to 5 to 10 minutes. So I didn't want to go back on that promise. So I won't say a lot more. I'll just say that my favorite cookie is oatmeal raisin.
Chocolate chip.
Yeah, there'll be no cookies. I'll open it up to the council. Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This report, the Pate Report, as it's being called, when I first read it, I thought that, you know, this is one more report. And then I read it again and began to realize that there's an awful lot in this. And I'm very happy to hear the remarks from the three primary people involved, particularly Paul's initiatives. But a lot of this has to come from the council itself. And I think we can concentrate on page 16 under the section challenges. Because if we look at the challenges, we see a repeating theme throughout this. Tendency to take ownership of a plan. Struggle to read and process all the information. Governance is too complicated. Too many committees and groups. Process far too much information for efficient decision making. No vision, no strategic plan, no sense of unity. Decisions are put off. Little consistency in standards across FMPs, PDTs, councils, APs, etc. PDTs do not share best practices across teams, rarely collaborate with each other. These are all similar themes, and they all revert back to one essential problem, and that is that we have too many FMPs. Every item that I just mentioned is the result of the plethora of FMPs. This resulting segmentation, the redundancy that comes out of that is no longer supportable. And that's basically what the Pate Report is saying. In terms of the council, I can't answer to the other two agencies because I don't really know much about how they work. But as far as the council is concerned, I've been here now for 5 years. And from the beginning of that time, the same theme keeps coming up. The plethora of FMPs is the result of continuing single-species management. One of the very first meetings I was at, Dave Gaethel gave an impassioned statement on that when he said, we're not going to get anywhere until we get away from single-species management. He said it then, it was true then, it's still true now. Jim Odlin, even yesterday, mentioned the problem with achieving optimum yield. We haven't been able to achieve optimal yield across fisheries. How could we when we have such broken up and fractionated management? Fortunately, we have worked out how to get out of that. What's required is to go to an ecosystem management plans, ecosystem area-based ecosystem management plans. The problem with that from the beginning was that we didn't know how to get there from here. We started out with the ecosystem workshop, which was more than 2 years ago, and that really didn't go anywhere because it led in two separate directions and we didn't know how to go either way. 2 years ago this month in this very room, this council passed a motion to task the Habitat/Ecosystem/MPA committee with producing an ecosystem management plan. Since that time, John and I have traveled to Woods Hole several times to meet with Mike Fogarty. And Mike Fogarty, who's one of the brightest men that I've ever known, I've known him for a long, long time, he developed a way to do it, a pathway. That's what we lacked, was some way to get from there to here. And he's done that. He has a team ready to go. He's been presenting it over two council meetings and will present the third part of his plan in September. And this is the way we must go. To move the council forward, we have to commit to this kind of change or we'll be forever mired in this. And I think that the Pate Report has given us the impetus to do exactly that. Paul mentioned it. And I think that everybody realizes that's the way that we have to go, and now we have a way to do it. So I'd like to make a motion, and I'm going to put the motion up. I've already given it to, okay. I'd like to move that it be a goal of the New England Fishery Management Council to adopt 3 area-based ecosystem management plans for the Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, and Southern New England/Mid-Atlantic Bight, and to incorporate, I put move in there, but I'd like to change that word to incorporate, all the FMPs under whichever ecosystem management plan is appropriate. If I get a second, we can go on with that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Gaethel. Dave Preble?
Okay. Well, I've already said most of what I need to say. I'd like to see how the council responds to this. Everybody knows where I stand on this one now, but we'll be getting Mike's third report in September, and the Habitat Ecosystem Management Committee is going to be very soon finishing up its work with the omnibus amendment. And I don't know what structure the council wants to use, but we're ready to move forward with it. And Mike has been in contact with us, and I think the council needs to take a stand here, and that this is where we need to go.
Okay. We do have a motion on the board, but I'm going to allow council members, when I'm calling you, if you want to comment generally on the management review or anything you heard from Paul, Pat, or Frank, that's fine. If you don't want to comment on the motion and you want to see the discussion continue, so... I had Dave Gaethel.
I did have some general comments. I mean, I certainly support the motion. I think I'll let that one go for the moment. I'm pleased to see that a number of council members sent fairly extensive comments and suggestions, and I did have a question about how people plan to incorporate those suggestions or use those. Is the executive committee going to use those, or that was my first question?
Well, I think the executive committee had those comments in their executive committee folder when they met, and they were part of the thinking that went into the recommendations that we brought forward. There may be recommendations that individual council members made that aren't represented in what the executive committee brought forward, and if specific council member feels strongly about one or two of them or whatever, but today would be a good day to bring it up.
Okay, well, the one, and again, I know it was a very general overview. It may be incorporated in there. The one I feel strongly about is having the staff go through the regulations and try to identify things that can be removed. And in this case, I had suggested that it not be the staff that created the regulation, but somebody that doesn't have first-hand knowledge of the plan, so that there was somebody would go through and say, all right, is there still justification for this? What's the justification behind it? Because I think people get too attached to their own regulations. And I really would like to see that done not only at the council level, but also at the regional office level. And the other question I had was actually for Frank. This report by Mike Sissonwine and Brian Rothschild identified some things that I actually thought were kind of surprising, and the one that was the most surprising to me was that they think we're overusing the Center for Independent Experts, and it seems to me that what I remember is that we specifically wanted to use the Center for Independent Experts to have reviews be independent, and, I'd like to hear some comments on that. And then the other one was, and I agree with it, that the people at headquarters are out of touch with the field. They don't have enough field experience, and I agree with that as well. I mean, when I testified for the President's Commission on Ocean Policy, one of my suggestions was that everybody that regulates a fishery be required to spend at least a week a year at sea in the fishery they regulate, and they laughed at me. I mean, it was a nervous laugh, but they still laughed at me. And I still think that part of the reason we're in some of the messes we're in is because the people doing the regulating don't have any idea what the regulated are actually doing. And so that was the other one I'd kind of like to hear some comment on, about whether or not headquarters plans to deploy people into the field to get some firsthand knowledge.
I'll take the second one first, because it's easy, because I'm not going to say much. I understand what you say, but I do believe that while the level of field experience in headquarters may in some cases be below. I do believe that we're in contact with them almost 24/7, and they do rely on field staff a lot. I know that the report was prepared by a past science center director who became the head of S&T, who became the chief scientist before he retired. So he had that perspective, that unique perspective. I honestly don't think it's as bad as Mike said it. Mike wrote that. I don't believe it's as bad as Mike said it is. The people in headquarters are very bright. They understand what's going on. When they lack the local knowledge, they are not at all shy about asking. And that's where I'll leave that. The source, I'm not sure where the idea that we're overusing the CIE came from. I actually don't think we do. But we do use the CIE for a lot more things than just council-related issues. I think, part of what the issue Mike might have had is that there's a finite universe of folks, and the reviewers, we've seen this before. We've had 52 SARCs, but I think for the last 15 of them or so, we've been using the CIE. And we have had some repeat performances. It's because the universe is small. So as we use the CIE over and over again for similar things, it gets more and more difficult to find folks that haven't been a part of the process before and may, in fact, come with some baggage. They may have reviewed. To be honest with you, I'm not sure this has ever happened or will happen. I hope it ever does. But if they come with some baggage where they may have made a recommendation 5 years ago about a particular research recommendation or assessment, and that hadn't been followed through for one reason or another, and they remember that. But when you get people coming back over and over again for whatever the process is, the fear is that we lose some of that independence. So I think that might be where Mike was coming from, because we do use them a lot. I mean, not just in the Northeast. I think we may use them more than in any other region. But whether or not we overuse the CIE, I think it might be a little. I think we could bait that, and we actually have.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I thought the CIE, it's the independence that everybody sought, and I that finding surprised me, and that's why I wanted you to comment on it, because I that's the one finding I've kind of disagree with here. I understand the aspect of people reviewing things over and over and maybe getting kind of attached to a specific point of view, but I still think independence is preferable over asking your neighbor to review your work. So I guess that's the one I wanted to get on the record that I kind of disagree with.
And if Jim Weinberg were here, he would make the same comment. However, one of the things that he would say is that he spends a lot of his time reviewing reviewers and dealing with the CIE process. And it takes a lot of time because there are we need to make sure that we have the right reviewers on the right panels. And it takes a lot of time to do that. But I agree. I think that having that independence is something that is critical.
Dave, I just wanted to respond to your first comment, which had to do with convening either a team or tasking staff with reviewing current regulations and looking for either redundancies or outdated regulations and trying to take them off the books. We started that discussion and actually have a working team at the NRCC to look at across all plans at permit restrictions, upgrade restrictions, horsepower, and tonnage, and length restrictions, and look for inconsistencies or unnecessary regulations there. And I think you're going to see more work groups looking at that specific issue that you raised in general, which is, do we still need this rule? Does this rule still have a purpose? And I think there's certainly amongst council members that question and comment has come up more frequently over the past few years. So that's an example of it happening. If you want the council staff to take on that task, then that would be something for you to put down on a note to yourself for the priority discussion in September and then the decision in November. Thank you. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I had a related comment to the one, a question related to the one that David just asked you, Frank, in that we do have that report from Sisselwein and Rothschild, and I have the greatest respect for Mike Sisselwein, a member of our SSC, and of course, top dog previously at the, you know, the Washington office in charge of science for the National Marine Fisheries Service. So he and Brian Rothschild's recommendations really hit hard, and many were surprising. Some expected, some a bit shocking in light of what I've known or suspected has been happening relative to science throughout the nation within NIPS. And you've just expressed your views that I also have great respect for, that are somewhat counter, if not completely counter, to at least a few of the recommendations coming out of that particular report. So my question of you, Frank, is relative to that particular report put together by those two authors on building capacity of the NIMS science enterprise. Do you have what is the service's approach to dealing with those particular recommendations so that we, the council, and others will know which ones will be embraced, which ones will be discarded as a consequence of, I'm sure, thorough in-house review between the different regions as to those recommendations. So what's the approach for dealing with this particular report?
But this was I have just recently become a member of the Science Board, and this the report, although there isn't a lot on the web about the Sisselwein-Rothschild report, it is a report that was discussed, certainly headquarters, at length. At the last Science Board, the last two Science Board meetings, we spent the equivalent of about a day and a half. The Science Board is made up of all the Science Center directors and the Director of Science and Technology. We've talked about it at great length. There's a response, a draft response, that is in preparation. In about 3 weeks ago at the last Science Board meeting, we reviewed what we think is close to the final draft of a timeline that we have that we're going to use. And I believe the response to the Sisselwein-Rothschild report will come from headquarters. I don't want to say on the record when it is, but it's fairly soon, because we're homing in on the final plan and the timeline for the report. The response focuses a lot on the review of the individual science centers and the science themes that we have throughout the country, and we're working on that, the timeline for that. I think it'll be in the next 3 months.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Relative to the first, it's a bit awkward having a motion on the board, and we're not talking about the motion. We're talking about the performance report, but I'll address the motion shortly. I just wanted to highlight a couple of other things relative to the report put together by Pate and Company, and indeed they did do a good job. Many of the findings that they have described and conclusions they've drawn, I don't necessarily agree with them. Many I do support. But in going over the report, I was also, and we all should be very careful in reading the caveat section on page 8 and 9. With any report that's put together, there are certain limitations, and Press does a good job, and those with whom he worked to put this report together did a good job describing the caveats. Be careful, you know. Consider these things when going through all of the recommendations and findings made by the group, such as the generalizations, not being able to speak to everyone. It's based on stakeholder input. They tried to be objective and neutral, and I'm sure they were. So I take a lot of it with a grain of salt. But then again, quite a bit of it has made me think a little bit more about some things that I had kind of put on the back burner, and now I'm focusing more on them. Now, Paul led off the discussion by indicating that, paraphrasing Paul because I can't recall exactly what you said, but you mentioned the three ecosystems, You mentioned Magnuson. You mentioned, I believe, council staff working on a straw man document for September that would provide some staff perspective regarding a vision for future management, I think that you said you were going to do. Therefore, with that understanding, the motion to me seems a bit premature. Since we're leaping forward, if we were to adopt this motion, we're leaping forward to adopt a goal that relates to a very significant position this council would take today, based in part on the work done by Mike Fogarty and company, the presentations he has provided. I don't have them before me, but I know he had a lot of, you know, cautions, you know, take it slow. Still more work to be done. Magnuson Act would need to be reauthorized. NIMS would need to change positions and viewpoints on a number of things, that, enabling us to go in this direction. So that's why I'm a bit nervous about this, because Mike Fogarty essentially and his group, they're not done yet with recommendations to us, and you're providing this report to the council in September. So I would move to postpone this motion until after the council receives the staff straw man document with recommendations pertaining to a vision for fisheries management of New England fisheries. I can repeat that. But I'm not against this idea. I just think it's premature for us today to actually take action on something that is so significant without any staff input to reference. So the motion would be to postpone this motion until after the council receives staff straw man document with recommendations pertaining to a vision for management of New England fisheries.
So you want to table it till the staff recommendations are available?
Right, until after we get that report from the staff, which would, I'm sure, have recommendations, and I would imagine it would also have recommendations regarding what national standard guidelines, what law, what changes in Magnuson would have to occur for us to do that. And I think this way because of my remembering much of what Mike Fogarty said. This is not straightforward. This is complicated. It has all sorts of implications and need for change at the most basic level, changes in Magnuson, changes in national standard guidelines, and, as I said, a new way of thinking with the National Marine Fisheries Service. So I'm not prepared yet to buy into this goal, which is why I want the benefit of staff review, staff analysis, staff digestion, and assimilation of what Mike Fogarty and company have provided, because we have not yet received that. And I'll reference the I feel that way, too, because I do believe that, quite true, we have a strong staff. I don't believe there's some of the references in this document to staff. Well, anyways, we have strong staff with a lot of insights, and I want to see what they have to offer up regarding this particular issue.
Okay, before I ask for a second, Paul Howard wants to make a point of clarification.
Yep. This is not a vision of where the council wants to be in fisheries management down the road. Where is your vision? It's not the staff's vision. And you kept referring to staff. What we did at executive committee is brainstorm on all these things, and they brainstormed vision. And we talked about NAMA did a lengthy, expensive, year-long approach going out to the communities and came out with recommendations. We had that. We reviewed that. And I mentioned what that was. And then the leadership on the council said, well, maybe our vision ought to be more towards moving towards spatial planning. So it's their vision to tie in with all the marine spatial planning going on and the ecosystem management with Fogarty and all that kind of stuff. So what I said as executive director, I'll bring you a like draft vision. It's a vision statement. Where are we going down the road? And then the nitty-gritty hits the road with how do we get there? How do we get from where we are to that vision? And that's going to be debated and all that kind of stuff. But What we're looking for in September is a vision, that the vision of where we're going to be in 10 years might be spatially planned, three plans, that type thing. And if you council agrees to that, then we'll have priorities and work plans and phases to move into that direction.
Okay, now I'm going to ask for a second. Seconded by Mary Beth. It's non-debatable. All those in favor, raise your hand. I see five. Opposed? Eleven opposed. Abstentions? Okay, motion to table fails. Back to the council for discussion either on the motion or general comments on the management review. I'd like you to hold it to the management review. I understand the scientific paper was released on the same day, and it's very important, the recommendations in there, but the council itself isn't prepared today to discuss that paper. Jim Odlin.
Yeah, first to the Science Center and the services slides they put up there. I'd appreciate it if at some point you could put timelines to those bullets that you had on when we think that they're going to be worked on and so that we can tie it into what the council's trying to schedule. That's all. That's one comment.
Well, again, the goal is to actually put together a work plan. And so, yes, it would have a lot more detail, and there's a lot more bullets than that even. Those are just sort of highlights of some of the things we were thinking about. And so it'll definitely have timelines tied to it and be coordinated with what the council is doing.
Okay, now on to the motion. I think the motion is premature, and I'll vote against it. I would have voted tabling the motion to a time certain, but I didn't want to vote to table it till a staff comes up with a vision. I think Paul described that right. It's up to us to have the vision. And so just to the motion, I'm going to vote just against it, and that it's, we can bring this up later after we have more information in September or November. This is not something that I think we should be taking off the cuff and let these other things percolate a little bit and see what goes forward. So I would hope that the council would just vote this down and kind of bless the description of the work that's going to happen between now and September that Paul described, and we'll see where we are when that work gets concluded. Thank you.
All right, Terry, and then Sally, and then Dave Preble.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the concept of the motion, but much like Jim, I think it's ahead of itself. I would have supported tabling it. That failed, but as Paul articulated, the executive committee are strongly considering this approach. We will come back to the council in September with a vision for you all to respond to and hang. And add the details to. This goal, I think, is not new. We've signed onto this for the last couple of years, ever since Mike's first presentation down in Newport. So I'm going to vote against it, just not because I don't agree with it, but I think the timing's awkward.
Okay, Sally, then Dave Preble, then Mary Beth.
Ecosystem-based fishery management is one piece of the pie, and it certainly is significant, has been discussed, but all the issues that came back to the council through the management review are much bigger than just this. So I would say this is not premature. I mean, this is at least right on time and maybe a little bit late. So I'm going to support this moving forward right now, and also support the comments that Jim Odlin made as far as timelines. I think those are important to make sure that this management review and all the recommendations that are in there are given good consideration, and so that people know when to expect results.
Dave, then Mary Beth.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I specifically wrote on that thing that it be a goal, not the goal. It's a goal of the council. And as Sally has pointed out, this has been beat around for years now. And there isn't anybody, I think, that still thinks that we can possibly achieve optimum yield by continuing to manage each species as if it's in its own little universe. And I don't think there's anybody that thinks that we're ever going to get out of the mess that we're in with all of the redundancies and all of the things that are described on page 16 until we move in this direction. So I think that that this is something that the council needs to take a stand on. It's been beat around, talked to death. It's time to make a statement on it. And this is the best vision for the council at this time.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the first thing I wanted to say was thank you to you for starting the process, because I think it has been helpful, and I think it is a positive thing for the council in general and all of the different entities to have, you know, sort of a chance to review how we operate and what we can do better. So I do thank you for that. And I think one of the most important things that Pat mentioned that I thought would be extremely helpful is the concept of plain language regulation. I think we all spend in the industry an awful lot of time on the phone with staff at the regional office interpreting those regulations, and it's gotten so complex at this point. I think that you know, should be really helpful to everyone, because, I mean, you call the regional office and the staff doesn't even want to answer the question off the cuff, because they're like, oh, I better talk to a whole bunch of people, because it's as complex for you all as it is for us. So I do think that is extremely helpful. I did have one question, Paul. When you gave your summary, you talked about developing a vision and the work of the executive committee, and you also mentioned having meetings. But is it correct to say that in the short term it will be the executive committee working on a straw man, and that you're not going to be, you know, going out to meetings with the public at this point? Is that correct?
Right, but when that vision is brought to the council, the council or the executive committee in August might say, let's have a series of hearings up and down the coast to inform the stakeholders what this means, or something like that. I don't know. But the vision itself of where we're going, where we want to be, will be developed by the executive committee as the leadership of the council, and then presented to the council to approve it in September.
Okay, so thank you. I just was looking for a little clarification there. And the one thing that I thought would be helpful for us all is if we looked at how other councils operate. I mean, just general operating procedures. How do they deal with the public at the meeting? How do they run their meetings? Just structurally, how do they do things different than we do? I mean, I think there are probably some benefits here in this region, the way we do things, that are better than other places, and I'm sure that there's things that they do better than we do. So I was hoping that the executive committee could take the opportunity to look at the operations plans of other councils and you know, think through that process a little bit as you move forward. So I would encourage you to do that. And I did agree with David's comment that I think that in different places, not across the board, that there are some, you know, lack of understanding of how fisheries operate. And I think it's a challenge. You know, there's a lot of staff at the regional office, and you have a lot of people coming in and you have people leaving. And to keep people, you know, understanding those fisheries and how they operate on a day-to-day basis, I think it's a challenge. And I think it would be worth looking at, thinking that through, if there's a way to get the staff at the regional office who are writing the regulations to have a better understanding of the operations of fisheries. I spent a lot of time explaining to staff over the years, you know, herring's small number of participants. It is very different than other fisheries, and I think they do try, but I think we could all do better at trying to get that done. And to the motion, I think as Sally pointed out, personally, I think it's premature, so I did disagree with that, but it doesn't fix all our problems from this report by far. And there are things in here that we should be trying to address, and I agree with Paul, this is an opportunity, and we should not miss the opportunity.
Mary Beth, to your point about taking a look at other councils, on page 15, under maximize collaboration, the first bullet is to examine measures other councils have taken to improve communications and collaboration with stakeholders. And so we've taken that on, and Pat Fiorelli is going to look at all the other councils, and I think some of the executive committee members as well are going to investigate how other councils do their business and bring that back.
And Paul did say that in his summary, and so I had noted that. I was just a little concerned if we were limiting it to how they interact with stakeholders versus looking at their operations plan. So that was really my point.
Right. I think it's going to be broader than just the two items in the bullet. Mark Gibson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was struggling to make the connection between the motion and what we were discussing, and I'm still struggling with that a bit. It seemed to come out of left field, but it's an important issue, so I didn't vote for postponing it. But I think Dave said that this would resolve many of the the challenges we had were a result of not going in this direction earlier, and I don't agree with that. A lot of the challenges and the recommendations relate to, you know, functional logistical things like changing meeting layouts and simplifying council information, providing coffee, and then this kind of bombshell comes out. But I agree with it, so I guess I'm going to support it. But it seems to be disconnected. I point out that the administration issued an executive order almost a year ago on this. I think Sally's right that perhaps we're slow at the switch with this. But it just seems to be disconnected to the past issue we were talking about. But it's an important one, so I didn't vote to postpone it. Thanks.
Sally?
Yeah, thanks for one more bite at this. I just wanted to mention some comments that were made on the need to amend Magnuson to make this happen. I don't agree with that in the least, and certainly other councils, North Pacific, Western Pacific councils, have both taken this kind of approach that's described in here without any kind of special consideration in Magnuson. So there are examples out there that we can draw on. They're not completely analogous, but certainly we've got some examples that we can look to without having to go to Congress to make it possible. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
I have Pat and then Doug Grout.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I see this motion as a reaffirmation of a decision we've previously made. We've decided before to do this. So I don't think it's something new in particularly, but it does come back to a discussion about priorities. And as I recall, actually, we were going to do this after we finished the Habitat Amendment, which is the amendment that doesn't seem to ever get finished. So I think that's going to be a difficult discussion when we finally have it. Just back to the very quickly to the issue about the timelines. Nobody is waiting for these work plans. I just want to make that clear. We're working at the same time on implementing a lot of the things that we have either already instituted or are working on implementing. Several of the things that we think are responsive to the management plan at the same time that we're sort of memorializing it in a work plan. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Doug Grout, then I'm going to go to the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank the Executive Committee and Paul and his staff, and as well as the Northeast Regional Office and the Northeast Fisheries Science Center for coming up with this plan on how to address this. I think you all have done a great job. It addresses, sent us in a direction to try and improve our process. There were some things that I made some comments on concerning the report, and one of the things that was intriguing to me was this concept of a collaborative work session, and I hope as you move forward in addressing things, you can provide more clarification as to what Pat made, the Preston Pate report was talking about with that kind of thing, especially since we're a deliberative decision-making body. I didn't quite understand how that was going to work. I understood. I also saw the idea of having a facilitator. Well, I see for example, with our accumulation limits workshop, that was a very appropriate place to have facilitators. I didn't quite understand how facilitator would work in this session. But obviously somebody made that suggestion and may have an idea of how that might improve our process. And if we can maybe dig into that a little bit, I would be curious to see how something like that may help our process here. Finally, to the motion, clearly, yes, we've already discussed this before, and I'm Dave and the rest of the council knows that I support this. Having another motion to move forward, I was sort of on Dave Pierce's line that once we start working on this and also looking at our work plan for the upcoming year, that may have been a more appropriate time to reaffirm a direction that we've already discussed going to. In addition, we're also going to get part three, as I understand, of Mike Fogarty's three-part tutorial for us on, you know, how we might be able to move forward. So I really think that it is more appropriate to make this reaffirmation either in September or November when we're making the plans. I won't vote against it, but I will likely abstain from it.
You can go to the audience. Anyone in the audience? Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz. Speaking for myself and not the Fisheries Survival Fund, I would be against this motion. There's all the arguments that Dave put forward are correct. The idea of managing by large marine ecosystems has been around since SICNAF days. I remember Ken Sherman pushing it. But there's a lot of issues from a management standpoint. You're not managing fish, you're managing fishermen and fishing fleets. And there's a tremendous amount of biomass that moves through the three ecosystems. That being said, that definitely needs to be ecosystem management. The idea of combining FMPs makes a lot of sense. The idea that multi-species, combining skate and monkfish with multi-species would save a lot of paperwork, all those NEPA attachments, what have you. But you're still going to have all the work that, for example, Andy does with skates. You're still going to have some group doing the science on skates. I mean, it's not going to shortcut any of that. But it will, and on the outside final product, save a lot of time, and you would just be producing one FMP multi-species that includes the three species. You have the opportunity now to put ecosystem management in play. For example, there's a lot of boundary lines that we have between stocks, which in reality are arbitrary. I mean, look at the boundary line between southern New England yellowtail and Georgia's Bank yellowtail. You could easily draw one line, you know, which could be the ecosystem boundary line, and that could hold true for all species. I mean, obviously, some of them are swimming past that boundary line. Some you don't manage, bluefin tuna, others, dogfish, whiting, mackerel. You know, you go through the whole list of fish that move north to south and south to north. True ecosystem management would say, okay, now we have all those species in that fisheries management plan. There's just too many little skate out there, and they're preventing the comeback of winter skate. They're pushing winter skate into deeper water. They're eating winter flounder eggs and larvae. They're eating the food of yellowtail. We need, from an ecosystem standpoint, to decide to reduce the little skate population. Now, you have one management plan that's covering all those species. You can make that ecosystem decision under the current practices. So I just think you just need to start moving in that direction, simplify the lines, combine the management plan so that it reduces the paperwork, but you're still going to have the building blocks. I think weaknesses that I've seen is the plan development teams need to be strengthened. We've had discussions like the research steering committee. I would rather see the research steering committee go away and that the technical expertise that exists there go to the plan development teams. Because the decisions for something like a haddock separator trawl has ramifications that are, that as we discussed, that a ground fish plan development team has to deal with. But they don't have the expertise there in the room. The Scala PDT works terrific because the chair of the Scala PDT allows industry interest to participate in the process. The industry knows it's not wasting its time going to that meeting, providing technical expertise. So there are changes. I mean, the council meetings, yeah, if we had free trade coffee at the back and locally grown vegetables for refreshment, would be pretty cool. I used to like the after-work cocktail parties. But in general, I think this council process works fine. The big flaw in that management report is they didn't put the onus on the stakeholders. I mean, there's a stakeholder responsibility to participate in that process. Communication is not a one-way street. And the question is, how do you get stakeholder participation? And for 20 years now, I've been saying that it's until we require fishermen to participate in the process, the way as a farmer, where I have to participate, I have to get 12 continuing education credits every 3 years to maintain my pesticide license, which is an important tool. So I have to go to these foolish meetings every year to get my credits and listening to some guy tell me about water quality or, you know, I'm there. So being there, I get exposed to it. And I think the same thing could be done. Require the stakeholders to come to the meetings by requiring continuing education credits to be a licensed captain or mate. And then once they're here, they start learning about the process. They'll participate in the process. That I mentioned it to that group there, but they didn't understand what I was saying about. So I think there's a lot of things that can be done, and we shouldn't go overboard. I think we should just sort of start just changing direction and start introducing the concepts. Thank you.
Jeff Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Kalin. I'm going to speak for myself as somebody who's been come into this process since it began, and I wanted to touch on something that Ron mentioned about, you know, stakeholder involvement in the process. So, you know, some of us participate, and some of us have given our time to be advisors over the years. One area that I think could be improved, and I didn't see this come out of the management review. I was interviewed by press and those guys, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. But I think the council should notify, the council staff should notify the AP members whenever there's a PDT meeting that's going to occur in the fishery that they're advising on. It happens sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time. We spend a lot of time at the Mid-Atlantic Council, too, and we're talked about the same recommendation there. You have problems with advisors participating. Sometimes that shouldn't go on for too long. You should get rid of people after a couple of years if they're not willing to come. But sometimes we miss out on an opportunity, I think, to go to a PDT meeting that could inform us, or maybe we could bring information. So if you do your review between now and September, I think that would be something that would be helpful. Some PDT chairs do a better job of that than others, but as a policy, I think we as advisors should know when all those meetings are occurring, and, you know, whether or not there's a requirement that we go or something, I don't see how you get to that point. But that's one recommendation that I wanted to make, and I would hope the executive committee could consider that. All the advisors probably won't go, and we know when we go we're not supposed to say anything unless we're asked to say something and so forth, because we're not PDT members. And, you know, there again, I think some PDT chairs give us more opportunity to have input than others do. So I think this is one area of policy that the executive committee could focus on, and you know, just to enhance our relationship as advisors to the council's business. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Jim Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall, the Bedford Seaver Consulting. Both previous speakers made great comments that I pretty much totally agree with. And I also agree with some of the comments that David Gaithorne made, referring to possibilities of people who are involved in decisions that have a way of really impacting the industry should know a little bit more about that particular industry or that particular management plan. And as both the previous speakers had said, there's an onus on industry as well to learn about the council. you need to have more at-sea experience or understanding of what the industry or the fishermen have to go through with their particular trial and errors. It brings me back to a point that I had raised this same issue back in the early 80s, and Dick Schaefer was RA at the time, I believe, and they assigned one of his staff to make a trip with me on a scallop boat. And the issues were dealing with meat counts and how difficult it was for a fisherman to be out there day after day trying to make a meat count when it just didn't make much sense to do it that way, particularly when Canada had a better way. So anyways, long story short, they assigned someone to go out with me. At that time, my boat, the Nordic Pride, was almost brand new. It was state-of-the-art, 107 feet, air conditioning, forced air heating, the works. So it wasn't a bad deal for him. But after about 2 or 3 days, he came up in the wheelhouse and he told me, he said, "Well, I've seen all I need to see." He says, "I want to go home." I said, "So do I." I says, "But the idea is no, it's not what you're not going to see repetition, because that's what we do is repetition. The idea is to see, you know, how it affects us over a 10 or 12 day period to do this." To the best of my knowledge, he came out of the wheelhouse or out of the forecastle area one time, peeked around into the starboard box, did the same thing on the port side, and never left the forecastle from that point forward. Each day he'd be down in the galley or outside of the galley in the companionway jogging to get ready for the Boston Marathon. And he put that to great use when we hit the dock. That was the last I ever saw him. That's the last I ever heard of that particular experience. So I'm sure he remembers it as well as myself and my gang. But my point is here is, you know, it doesn't take much to see what's going on out there and to learn it. It doesn't have to be a 12-day scallop trip in the middle of February or whenever it was at that particular point. So, but we were only a couple of miles off Block Island, so it wasn't a bad deal all in all. But to make the point again is that I think a lot can be gained that way. It doesn't have to be every guy that's involved, but as long as someone has a true understanding of what the industry or the fisherman has to go through, you can't buy that kind of experience. You have to live it. So I really appreciate that. And I guess the final comment is I want to put a strong recommendation that Paul listen to that coffee recommendation, because that's sorely missed. But thank you.
We have Maggie, then Kristen.
Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. Paul, Pat, and Frank, thank you for providing us with a preview of the plans that you have to improve the process. I just have a couple of quick questions and one comment. And the first question is for Paul. When you were talking about scaling up the collection and use of the socioeconomic data and having an ongoing review of the plans for performance, in that, my question is fishing safety, is that considered in the social part of the information? Because, you know, that wasn't specifically mentioned, so I just wanted to make sure that fishing safety is part of the social information.
Yeah, in fact, that new National 10 standard guidelines is going to have measurement, and I've already talked to Coast Guard and stuff, so we're going to start measuring safety as well.
Okay, great. And as well as in the ongoing review of plans, because we do have some regulations on the book that do pose some safety concerns, and it would be a good idea to look at those over again to make sure, to see if we can get rid of them. And there was some question about the, this would, I think, would be for Frank. There was some question about the CIE review, and I had a different take on that question. Was I understand why the CIE review of the assessments was established, but that was prior to when we had the SSC looking at the assessments, and so I just was wondering if you're going to be looking at whether not that's redundant, and do we need to have two reviews of the assessment before it can come to the council to be used. You don't have to answer that now.
I will.
Okay.
The answer is that that is actually a portion of the redundancy, the reduced redundancy action item that we're working on.
Okay.
Part of the issue that we have, or the strategy that we're using, is to include the SNS committee members earlier in the process of the assessment process. The whole ACL-AM working group process is revising the way we actually do the SAWS-ARC, including the SSC members earlier, including an SSC member as the chair of the SARC, so that they're included earlier. So there is no need for additional review by the SSC.
Okay, great. And finally, Mr. Chairman, for a great many years I have been advocating that the council formalize their use of their advisory panels in terms of when do you bring them into the process, how are their recommendations brought to the council. As you know, the advisory panels are called at the whim of the chair of the committee, who may never call them at all to for their advice on a plan. So, you know, hopefully out of this review of the process, there would be some recognition of, you know, formal recognition of the importance of the advisory panel and when they're brought into the process, how often, and how their recommendations are conveyed to the council as a whole. Thank you.
Thanks, Maggie. Kristen?
Good morning, members of the council. I'm Kristen Dekus. I run the Port of New Bedford and work for Mayor Lang. And just want to thank you all today for beginning this dialogue and having a very open, transparent discussion about the management process, the issues with it, and how we can move forward. And I would just make the point that in this being the first motion, I think something that we really want to do is we're looking at this new management regime or potential way of reworking how we develop managements, that we want to rebuild trust with industry. I think that's been one of the biggest problems, that there's a lack of trust with industry. And putting up a first motion that's just, again, talking about fish and not people, I think might not be the most appropriate next step. And I think that we should really look at National Rule 8, economics, and communities as part of the initial dialogue in making a first motion. Thank you.
Peter?
Peter Shelley, Conservation Law Foundation. First, I'd like to acknowledge the spirit with which the Council, the Service, and the Science Center are approaching the recommendations. I think it's terrific to see this, the way you're all jumping into them and looking for opportunities in the observations that were made by the consultants. Speaking to the motion, I was a bit interested in Ron Smolowitz's comments. He said he was speaking against the motion, but when he actually started talking, most of what he said I understood as being in support of the motion and making good arguments about why this motion was timely. I was also surprised, I guess, by seeing this motion in the context of the management review. But as the conversation has gone along, it's really become clear to me that as you're undertaking these looks at the functions of the different elements of fisheries management in New England, it really will be important to impress upon everyone who's engaged in activities that this is one of the council's goals that you have identified, and it does require a different way of thinking and organizing yourself to be able to think ecosystemically. And so I think Mr. Preble is right that this is the right time and context for reaffirming this goal and explicitly putting it into the charge, both to your own staff as well as your encouragement for the Science Center in particular and the New England Regional Office to incorporate this kind of thinking and this strategic objective in how they respond to the management report. Thank you.
Aaron, you get the last comment, and I'll bring it back to the council.
Hello, thank you. Aaron Doherty, Penobscot East Resource Center. I also want to speak in support of the motion. I agree with the comments that Peter made, as well as Dave's opening comments on this. I think that with the management audit, a lot of people were really glad to be listened to with their concerns, to share their concerns about how the management process was working, and feeling like, you know, a lot of the decisions that are made are just, you know, a very slow grinding process, and there's a lot of stagnation in different pieces and lack of communication. And I think that people were feeling pretty hopeful, especially looking at the recommendations that are coming out, and it's great to hear this process, this discussion today. I do feel like this motion is a relevant first step. I think it's really important. And also, I think it's going to give a clear signal to the industry that we're listening to the concerns that have been raised and that we're anxious to move forward. Thanks.
Sarah, back to the council. Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've listened to all of this very carefully. The one thing that I want to clarify is that the Pate report really does go in two separate directions, one of which I tried to identify here. And the other one is the day-to-day management things that have to be done in order to increase our efficiency. They're two separate directions. There's no conflict between them. I have no disagreement with anything that Mary Beth said or David Gaethel or anybody else as far as what has to be done on the day-to-day improvement of how we do business. That's the essential thing we have to do, no question about it. And I want to specifically answer what Mark said. The connection isn't that it's either or. It's both. That was my point. And it perhaps would be more appropriate, I don't disagree with that, that this be brought up immediately after Mike Fogarty's presentation in September. I do not disagree with that point. But it also is an integral part of the Pate report. And that connection has to be made. And that was my reason for bringing this forward at this time, is that it is connected to the Pate report. The Pate report tasks us with doing certain things, but it also mentions the need for long-range planning and a vision. And our vision cannot continue to be tied to the absolutely disastrous policies of single-species management. And that was why I made that point at this time. I wrestled in my own mind with what was the appropriate time to bring this motion forward. I brought it forward now, and we'll see where it goes. Thank you.
Doug?
That being said, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to postpone consideration of this motion until the September Council meeting. And if I get a second, I'll speak to it.
Yeah. It's out of order.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman?
Please.
The previous motion was a motion to table, and it had very specific criteria that was very different from my criteria here. It was not a motion to postpone until the September meeting. It was a motion to table until we got a report back. If you go back and look, it's very different.
Gene?
A motion to postpone to a time certain is only good for the session in which you're operating. You can't do it for another session. So it's by definition a motion to table indefinitely, basically. It doesn't matter what the conditions are for when you're going to bring it up again. That the motion to postpone for a time certain is only good for this session of the council.
Let me suggest this. I do think it's out of order based on that ruling, and that was my feeling as well. But if there's no objection, I think listening to the maker of the motion, it was important to him to have the discussion today. And if there's no objection, I'll allow the motion to be withdrawn without objection, knowing that you've had this discussion and the majority of you are going to be here in September to have this discussion again. That's one way out of it, rather than have a vote on it. I offer that up. Dave?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. We're not going to work on this between now and September. So that I don't have a problem with. And Pat is right. This does refine what we have already agreed to, but it also extends it by mentioning three area-based ecosystem management plans And that's the direction we're going anyway. But I would request that it be, or I'll reintroduce it at the end of Mike Fogarty's discussion in September.
Yeah, and just from the perspective of the executive committee, this is a bit of foreshadowing. You will, as a body, you will be receiving a vision from the executive committee in September that deals with this issue. So if there's no objection, I'll ask that the motion's withdrawn. Is there anything else, Mike Leary?
Yeah, now that the motion's withdrawn. But I did have a question. Why does an organic farmer need a pesticide license?
He's not in the room. Reload when he comes back. You can take another shot. Dr. Pierce?
This morning we received, this is relative to the performance report and its findings. This morning we received an email from Juanita with a saving seafood alert. And it references the fact that the Gloucester auction is being shut down for 15 days. And it says, despite apology from the Commerce Secretary, and there are a lot of details here describing this particular action and the timing of the action. It occurred when Larry Shula was at a hearing in Boston with Senator Scott Brown. And he, I guess according to the report, he learned of the action from NOAA NIMS while he was there at that hearing. Anyways, my point is that, and I don't know if it's an accurate report, and I don't know all the details. However, it was sent to us this morning, and it caught my attention because, well, it leads me to suggest that the National Marine Fisheries Service might want to reflect on that particular document, on that account, the news account, and reflect on whether or not that decision relative to the auction and its timing is consistent with the findings and the recommendations of the review of the New England fishery management process. It's just a curious action, and the timing struck me as being strange in light of the hearing and everything else. So, again, I don't know the facts. I don't know whether it's an accurate report, but my suggestion is the service take a look at it and consider if it has any implications relative to this Pate report. It's not a motion, just a suggestion.
Okay, anything further? Okay, we'll take a checkout break, 15 minutes, and then we'll get back to the SSC.